Remember the smashing of the glass.
Today, there are hundreds of thousands of students.
The security procedures are now going too far.
Middle of the showroom floor says, take your tie off or you
fire.
And
he pulled his pants down?
Yeah, something like that.
World famous Phil Hendry Show. Every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. A news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch on this show. And we go through the looking glass and beyond, going places other talk shows wish they could, but they cannot. They cannot. Not that they won't. They can't. Yeah. This hour is what we call our news hour. Robert Leonard and Bud Dickman along the way, and our Phil Hendry Show website, philhendryshow.com. Get a backstage pass. You can watch live streaming video of the show. You can also access thousands and thousands and thousands of hours of our archives. And when I say thousands of hours, that's exactly what I'm talking about. Thousands of hours. And when you check out Backstage Pass, what it is per month, it's like $6.95. Brother, there ain't a better deal in entertainment. Nowhere. And for a radio station website, for a radio show website, we actually offer you something. Because I'm telling you, I'm very familiar with radio show websites. They don't have anything. I mean, they got nothing. And the stuff they got from the show, like a 10-minute clip of some bullcrap bit. We got full hours, man. We got all of our shows. So check it out, philhendryshow.com.
What are you talking about your dad?
You want to repeat the story?
Yeah.
My father would say, this was in 1968, and I was in high school. So it was during the 1968 Democratic Convention, and it was on television. And for those of you who are familiar, the 68 Democratic Convention had all the yippies in the street, and there was all kinds of violence, and there was all kinds of cops cracking people's heads. And my dad was watching the conventions every night as he did the Republican convention that year. And I remember him getting up from the dinner table and saying, I'm going to go watch these bastards tear themselves apart. Ha, 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 ha. And he went in there to watch.
What are you talking about, like Gore Vidal?
One of the networks, I forget which one, this I think it might have been NBC. This was fantastic. For the whole week, they had Gore Vidal and William F. Buckley debating and sitting in the booth. I think it was for the whole week. I'm telling you, can you imagine that? Gore Vidal, William F. Buckley. Now, both those guys, one's a liberal, the other's a conservative. They're pretty much of equal intellect, although I'm sure their fans would disagree and say, no, the other guy's smarter. But, I mean, these guys are heavy hitters. And I'll never forget they were there, and that was part of the coverage, man. I mean, if you think about it right now, name for me in television, okay?
Yeah.
Two guys, woman, man, I don't care. Of equal value, intellect, I mean import, to Gore Vidal and William F. Buckley, that we could put on television and debate each other, sit and be the commentators for a political convention. Go ahead.
Sean Hannity and Alan Colm, probably.
Man, are you crazy?
Sean Hannity and Alan Colm, are you an idiot or something?
They're pretty smart.
Yeah, they're pretty smart. That ain't Gore Vidal and William F. Buckley, man. I'm talking about two guys that have written more books than all of those cats put together. I mean, real books, you know, with like footnotes and indexes and stuff like that.
All right. What about, okay, Bill, well.
If you say Bill O'Reilly, I'm going to smack you.
Bill O'Reilly? Man, that guy couldn't find it. He's dumb.
I'm waiting.
What about that one guy, Christopher Hitchens?
Okay, Christopher Hitchens. There, I'll give you Christopher Hitchens. Now who on the liberal side? Because frankly, Christopher Hitchens, even though he's a self-described leftist, he's made a lot of enemies on that side because he was in favor of the American invasion of Iraq. He's in favor of the war on terror. I mean, he's totally, quote unquote. There's all these stupid bastards like fat ass. Michael Moore tried to debate. You imagine Michael Moore trying to debate Christopher Hitchens? He got his fat ass handed to him. So who's next?
What about Noam Chomsky?
Noam Chomsky and Christopher Hitchens. Now that would be good. That would be good.
And who's Noam Chomsky?
Noam.
G-N-O-M-E.
Right. No. G-N-O-M-E.
M-N-O-M-E.
No, N-O-A-M. That's it. Christopher Hitchens and Noam Chomsky. The only problem is Noam Chomsky is not exactly what I would call, is he... Is he, like, you know, real colorful? I don't know. Maybe he is.
I don't know who he is, man, but, you know.
Well, anyway. So that's what that was, and this is where we are, folks, in 2010. Noam Chomsky and Christopher Hitchens. Okay. World-famous Phil Henry Show here. Welcome back. TripAdvisor's top dirtiest hotels in the United States.
This ought to be good.
You really? Well, a lot of these places you guys have probably stayed in. Some hotels are just dirt cheap. Others are dirty and cheap.
Say that again.
Some hotels are dirt cheap. Others are dirty and cheap.
One more time.
Shut up. Some hotels are dirty and cheap. Travelers need to know the difference. Which is why TripAdvisor, for the last 6 years, has published a list of America's top 10 dirtiest hotels based on cleanliness ratings posted by visitors to its website. Under each listing are selected comments from people who stayed at the hotel or the motel. Number 10 of the top 10 filthiest toilet bowls, and I forgot what you said to me, Rance. Should I read these in order, or does it matter? I think that I probably should read them in order. I think that's what he wanted me to do. All right. Number 10, read what's in front of me, so I read them in order. Econo Lodge, Newark International Airport, Elizabeth, New Jersey. Well, you know.
You ever fly out of Newark?
I flew out of Newark, yeah, and I don't want to say nothing, but a place called the Econo Lodge in Newark? I don't think so. Here's a comment. This place is nasty, nasty, nasty. Bed bugs, nasty carpet. Had location, this not a hotel. Bad location, this is not a hotel. This was the worst stay of my life. Never again. Please don't stay. 25 bed bug bites between the two of us. How do they know that it isn't just some guy, you know?
What are you talking about? I mean, what? The guy who has the competing Econo Lodge?
I don't know. I never trust these online reviews. How do you know it's not some competing business that hates the guy, and they go in and they just fill it up with all kinds of nasty stuff?
I think they got to, like log in or something.
Well, so what if you got to log in? Anybody can log in. Anyway, here's number 9 of the filthiest, nastiest toilets, that is, hotels in America. Number 9, Palm Grove Hotel and Suites, Virginia Beach, Virginia. Comment. The elevators did not work, so we used the stairs. They were unbelievable, disgusting, smelled like urine, graffiti on the stairway walls, and absolutely filthy. One of our room keys didn't work. Luckily, we had two. Luckily, that should have been a tip for you to turn around and run.
Yeah, it's either lucky they had two. It would have been lucky if they had none.
Yeah, no key would be lucky.
Right. Anyway, one of our room keys didn't work. Luckily, we had two. The room was gross. There was sand all through the tub, dirt on the bathroom floor, paint peeling from the ceiling. At some point, you got to turn around and say, I wouldn't stay in this toilet bowl. That is a place called the Palm Grove Hotel and Suites in Virginia Beach. How'd you like to be the guy that owns that dump today? You know.
What would you do?
If I own that place?
Yeah.
I'd bring the bulldozers in tomorrow. It would be remodel time, man.
Yeah, but you got to have a lot of money to do that.
Well, I'm assuming I'd have a couple of bucks if I owned a whole hotel. Number 8. I knew we'd have to get around to the Super 8. You know, Super 8, what are you going to do, man? You know, anytime somebody's going to put a list like this together, you guys know you're going to be on it. Number 8, the Super 8 in Estes Park, Denver, Colorado. Oh, my God.
What? Let me see. Oh, my God.
Well, let me see. Oh, my God.
Let me see. Oh, wait a minute. I was the guy that started it. Anyway, Super 8 Estes Park, Denver, Colorado. There was mouse feces located around the base of the bathroom.
What's that?
It's mouse crap, man.
Oh.
All the pillows smelled like smoke and greasy hair. Each of the comforters had large stains on them when pulled back, and it was so very obvious they had not been laundered in a long time. So gross. Wow. I mean, you're not going to stay there, man.
Well, I mean, what are you going to do?
I'd leave, man. I'd sleep in my car. Of course, if you got a bunch of kids, I got to tell you something. You know, more and more, man, I'll just tell you this, but more and more these days, if you have a big family and you want to stay somewhere, you know, Embassy Suites, Marriott Suites, you got to go for these little suites places because they're well-priced. They're clean. They're run by a very reputable chains. What's the other one?
Radisson.
Radisson, I think, has a suite style. These are the ones you got to do, you know.
What do you mean by suite?
Well, it has the bedroom separate from there's a little living room. Holiday Inn, are those good suites? You got to go for that. If you have a family, if you got four or five, what are you doing? Traveling with your kids. Okay, if it's you and your wife, same thing, man. Why even mess around with this toilet? I mean, how broke are you, man? If you're that broke and it's just you and your old lady, excuse my French, sleep in your freaking car, man.
Yeah, but I mean, that's not comfortable either.
I'd rather sleep in my car, man, than sleep in some dump with mouse crap laying around.
Is that the mouse fault or what?
What do you mean, is that the mouse fault?
What do you mean?
Well,
it's the... What do you mean it's the mouse fault? What are their mice doing in there in the first place?
That's where they live.
Well, they ain't living in no hotel room that I'm renting. Number 7, the Roadway Inn in Williamsville, New York. There were... Here's the comments for about this this dump. There were crusty white... Oh, God.
Are you kidding me?
No. Crusty white stains on the blankets and the sheets. Filthy, dirty, smelly, worn, dirty... See, that's where I think they're overdoing it a little bit. That's two dirties. Anyway, worn, dirty, oily-looking furniture. Carpeting throughout this place is soiled, stained, and filthy. Williamsville, New York, the Roadway Inn.
I mean, you wonder, why do people do that?
I mean, that's a great question. That's a great question. You have a motel, or you have one of these little inns, and it's well-known. The name is, you know, Roadway, that's a known name. Super 8 is a known name. Econo Lodge. Why don't you go and scrub the filth out of the place? What is it with these people that own these places that they think it's like printing money? They'll just let people come in, stay in your filthy, you know, people would be doing you a favor, man, if they burned a place to the ground.
You better watch out, man. If it's going to happen, a guy's going to blame you.
Number 6, the Atlantic Beach Hotel, Miami Beach, Florida. Oh, this ought to be good. Here are the comments about the Atlantic Beach Hotel in Miami Beach, Florida. Do not enter. First night we checked in, our room smelled like dirty wet towels. The shower curtain had an unidentified gelatinous substance. Ah! The air conditioner wasn't working, and being held up by tape, there was a big hole in the wall. The sheets weren't cleaned. Oh, my God. I know that smell, too, man. Everything in Miami's got that, you know, like there's something wet, you know?
Yeah, I know. Like, if you turn the air off, man.
That's why that, see, that happened to me one time.
What did?
If you turn the air conditioning off, see, in Miami, you got to keep the air conditioning on all the time, man. I mean, when it's hot, all the time when it's humid.
Why?
Because if you don't, then it heats up in your house, and the next thing you got is this slime on your wall, man. Don't ask me what that is, but it's just slime.
I don't understand.
I don't either, but I made a big mistake one weekend. I made a huge mistake, one that I would never make again. I left town for the weekend, and I left my air conditioning off, and it was the month of July. And when I came back, there was mold all over my walls.
What do you mean by mold?
There were black splotches all over my walls. There was slime on the bathroom and kitchen floor. I mean, it was funky, Jack. And what I did... first thing I had to do was clean the place top to bottom. I had to get all the slime off there. Then I started to try to scrub the walls down when I realized with bleach. And when I realized that wasn't going to happen, I literally went to my building manager, and I said, I need my apartment painted, you know.
So you had to paint to get rid of the mold?
Pretty much. And then my clothes, dude, my clothes were all, like, messed up. I had to put all that stuff through the laundry. Don't, if you live in Miami and it gets humid, don't ever turn your air conditioner off. All right, we'll be back with more of the filthiest toilet bowl hotels in America as we work our way to number 1 on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Oh, man, man.
Where's that Super 8, man? Because I'm going to be going through town.
Yeah.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. World-famous Phil Henry Show.
No.
The 70s all about disco.
No, that's what people... No, the 70s was not all about disco. Robert's asking me about the 70s. How did we get on the 70s?
You were talking about that when Stuart at your apartment?
Oh, yeah. Well, I lived in Orlando in the 70s. I got into radio, and I was in my 20s, very, very young, and I was living in all these different apartments. You know, Orlando in the 70s was like the capital of... It seemed like it was the capital of singles apartments places. And anyway, and there's a lot of palmetto bugs and all this crap. And well, these are very clean apartments, but they had an exterminator coming in once a week. Well, I was working overnight shifts. I was doing all kinds of different shifts. And so the exterminator woman would just, you know, walk in, man. I'm trying to crash. It's 10 o'clock in the morning. I'm out like a light at 10 o'clock in the morning when you're working an overnight shift. Exterminator, and she comes spraying that crap everywhere, you know.
She sprayed on top of you?
I don't know, man. Some mornings, I don't even remember her coming in. Maybe she did just take it and spray it all over me because she hated me.
You said you thought she wanted to see you nude.
I was kidding. Nude. And no, there wasn't nothing but disco in the 70s and a lot of stuff. All right, let me get back to the list of the filthiest hotels in America. I almost feel like we need some music. And here, you know, this, I've always been wondering, I'm waiting for a time when we could use this, and I think the time, there you go, Twin Peaks. Now then, now that sucks. All right, number six, did we do the Atlantic Beach Motel? Did we do that?
I don't know.
Yeah, we did that. All right, number five, the Polynesian Beach and Golf Resort, Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Well, now, don't that sound like just a treat, huh?
Sound pretty nice to me.
Oh, yeah. The Polynesian Beach and Golf Resort, quote, the pool was so nasty, I would not let the kids in. There were big water bugs, but worse, when we were in the shower or asleep, we heard a cat in the ceiling stuck.
What?
A cat was in the ceiling. I hate to tell you this, lady. It was a rat. Oh.
Are you kidding me? Something that big?
I don't know. Number four, Hotel Carter, New York City. Now, why would you think there's a rotten hotel in New York? Yes, there is. Here's a quote. When we heard we were getting a hotel a half a block from Times Square, we knew it wouldn't be the Westin. We also didn't expect black mold in the showers, blood on the bed, and rats scratching all night. You got to be really stupid, though, if you're getting a hotel near Times Square and you don't get a good hotel, because there's some damn good hotels at Times Square.
Well, yeah, you, where you stay?
I stay at the W, and the W is perfect for me. I love it. And it's a great hotel, and the rooms are kooky and bitchin', and the view is fantastic, and the place is nice. Number three, the Desert Inn Resort in Daytona Beach, Florida. Never mind a ridiculous name for a hotel in Daytona Beach called the Desert Inn. Quote, I was sitting on the bed talking to my husband, and up the back of the chair ran a roach. Not a palmetto bug, a German coach roach. They come from filth. The room we stayed in smelled like a combination of mold, mildew, dampness, smoke, and stale beer. The ceiling was peeling. The walls were cracked. There were cigarette burns throughout the room. Number two, the Jack London Inn in Oakland. Poor Jack London, man.
Yeah, they name a hotel after a guy that stinks.
The rooms displayed a level of filth and discomfort that mere neglect could never produce. The parking lot resembled a post-apocalyptic junkyard. The halls reeked of cigarette smoke, body odor, and failure. Now, who? I think Jack London was staying in his own hotel. It's very poetic. Commuter.
Who's Jack London?
He's a writer, man.
You don't know who Jack London is? You're an idiot.
You don't know who he is either, man.
Hold on. He's a writer, man. He was a great writer. He wrote Call of the Wild, and he's from Oakland, California. So that's particularly poignant. Commuter rail trains, horns blasting, past the hotel every few minutes. The hotel was not clean, bed bugs, towels had stains on them, carpet was very wet when we arrived, and not from carpet cleaner.
What's that mean?
I don't want to know. And now, ladies and gentlemen, the number one funkiest, nastiest, most jacked up hotel. Good, bud.
I like it.
The worst hotel in America, the filthiest hotel in America, the Grand Resort Hotel and Convention Center, Pigeon Forge, Tennessee. Now, let me tell you why I know this, because I'm a little bit of a gospel music fan. I'm not a religious guy, but I like gospel music. And it just so happens that they have a gospel music convention at Grand Resort Hotel and Convention Center, Pigeon Forge. There was dirt at least a half inch thick in the bathtub, which was filled with lots of dark hair. And let me tell you what, I'm a blonde. Anyway, if you're looking for a hotel with, quote, pubic hair stuck to the bathroom floor in some unidentifiable gelatinous liquid, chewing tobacco, spit oozing down the wall and corridors, spider activity making webs in every corner of your room, carpeting so greasy and dirty you wouldn't want to sit your luggage down, let alone walk around barefoot, dingy bed sheets and towels as rough and thin as sandpaper, and a room so putrid and smelly it causes a gag reflex when you walk in, baby, the Grand Resort is a place you'll love.
That's what it says.
No, man. It says, but you'll love the Grand Resort Hotel. The number one funkiest, nastiest. Oh, baby. All right, coming up, Rick Sanchez did something that is, we think it's a little sad. He stayed at the Grand. No, he didn't. We'll tell you what it was. It isn't that sad. World famous Phil Henry Show. PhilHenryShow.com. Visit the website. Or stay at our website.
Phil Henry. Listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Head on over to our website. Every night after the show, we post a show log to tell you what kind of falderall we got into. And that is the case tonight. In fact, we've actually had a very early entry into our show log. Jason Smith, who's a guy that does some artwork for us, I guess you could say. And Jason's also a guy who runs an unofficial chat room. Good guy, and a lot of good people over in that chat that Jason runs. He did a picture of me he's got a picture of me that he sort of photoshopped. Looks like I'm the engineer on.
Looks like a monorail.
Like it's like a bullet train. Anyway, it's part of our show log on the homepage there at philhenryshow.com. There's all kinds of blog posts there. There's all kinds of classic podcasts you can access. There's our Phil Rants, which are accessible there on our homepage. Our recent shows, or you can go into the archives, recent archives, or the classic archives. There's a list of all of our affiliates. And, of course, there's our shop. Right now we have our classic CDs there, but soon to arrive,
man, that is bitchin',
is our shot glass, which I'm showing to you guys on our video cast. This is sweet, this shot glass.
How do you know you talk about it's going to be in a dishwasher?
Hey, bud, what did I tell you, man?
No, it's dishwasher safe.
It's dishwasher safe. This thing, this ain't no cheap. Everything we do is first rate. And the Phil Henry Show shot glass is first ticket, baby, all the way. Even acetone, man, you can't take that off. This is our classic shot glass, which we started, we invented, me. Remember, it's all about me. We're complete narcissists. We're totally psychopathic. Thank you.
And now back to Phil Henry.
Thanks. All right, 877-876, our number. But before we even consider taking any phone calls, which we probably won't do, a car salesman, and at first blush, and I don't know why people say at first blush, it sounds a little fey.
Not like they put on makeup.
At first blush, this story sounds unfair. But I have to tell you, I like this story, and here's why. The headline says, car salesman fired for sporting a Packers tie in honor of his grandmother's death. Now, right away, we want to feel bad for the man because his grandmother died. And, of course, I understand. Now, the dealership does promotions for the Chicago Bears. John Stone said that when he went to work on Monday morning at Webb Chevrolet in Oaklawn, he decided to wear a Green Bay Packer tie. He's had this Green Bay Packer tie for years to honor his late grandmother, who was a huge Packer fan. Little did he know that the seemingly innocent gesture would cost him his job. Stone said that when he showed up at work, General Manager Jerry Roberts called him over to the office and then ordered him to take off the Packer tie or else he'd be fired. Stone said he thought Roberts was joking and went back to work. Right there, that's bull crap.
What are you talking about, man?
Why you say that?
Because that's horse crap. I don't believe that. That's too convenient for this guy. Oh, I think he's joking. I'm going to go back. Take off the Packer tie or you're fired, and then he's going to go back and ignore the guy. There's a whole bunch of stuff that we don't know about. We don't know about this man's relationship with this company. We don't know about this man's work ethic. We don't know about anything. An hour later, Stone said Roberts came to the showroom floor and again demanded he take off the tie. When he didn't, he was fired. So you're told twice to take off the Packer tie, and he didn't, so he's fired. The first time he thought he was kidding. Okay, let's say I believe that story.
Well, man, why don't you have some sympathy for the guy? His grandmother died.
I understand that, but you got to understand something. The whole world doesn't stop because our personal lives are suddenly impacted negatively. It just doesn't happen. We'd like it to. We wish it would. Maybe we'd even like to have a law passed that says that when something happens to us that hurts us, the whole world stops and acknowledges, and everything just comes to a screeching halt. That's not the way reality works. You got to suck it up and move forward, because the rest of the world don't care. See, this is one of the things that I think the existential reality of life is being ignored increasingly by a current generation of Americans. The existential reality of life. What do I mean by that?
I don't know. What does that mean? Existential is that...
That's part of a car.
What is?
The existential.
Are you being serious?
I don't know.
The existential's part of a car.
Yeah.
You talking about the differential?
I don't know. I'm...
The existential reality of life is the following thing. Franz Kafka wrote about it. Jean-Paul Sartre wrote about it. Don't ask me what they did. And it is the following thing. The world doesn't care about you. Now, doesn't that sound harsh?
Sounds really mean.
Oh, well, you can look at it that way. You can, I'm really mean. Or you can say, well, that's the way it is. Because frankly, we don't care about the world.
What do you mean?
I mean, as uncaring and as unfeeling as the world is toward us, that's exactly how we are. When someone is hurt, when someone is suffering, certainly we want to try to help. We all have the humanity to want to help. But the fact is, if that person goes down for the count, if their world falls apart, you know, we tried, but we move on because we've got other things that we have to do. Lucky me, too bad for them. That's how we look at life. And that's how life looks at us. And what happens, and I don't know where the disconnect, I like this word disconnect. I got your disconnect swinging. Here's a disconnect for you. Here's reality, and here's where a lot of people are. And Jack, those two things ain't going together.
Well, man, I don't understand you saying, like, people should be kind to each other and everything.
There's all kinds of what people ought to do, Robert. You know, people should be kind, people should be this, people should be that. Like the man said, it ought to rain whiskey. Well, it don't. Do it.
Uh-uh.
All right. So here's a guy, he lost his grandma. I feel bad for you. It's tough. I'm sure she meant a lot to you, and to that extent, I certainly can commiserate. But the fact is, the guy told you to take your tie off, not once, but twice. John Stone, who was fired for his Packers tie, which he wore to honor his recently deceased grandmother, but let's make sure we get that part of the story out there. Otherwise, the guy has no defense at all. And here he is talking to WGN TV.
Middle of the showroom floor says, take your tie off or you're fired. I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. I'm like, Jerry, can I just zip it up? You're fired. Get out. My grandmother loved the Green Bay Packers. Packers was her team. I don't know why. She lived in Chicago, but she loved the Green Bay Packers. I love you, Grandma, and I love my Packers.
And that's just the way it is.
Yeah, big deal. Anyway, here is the dealership GM, Jerry Roberts, telling WGN why he can stone.
You actually fired a guy for wearing a Green Bay Packers tie?
Correct. I don't feel that it was appropriate for him to go directly in contrast with an advertising campaign that we spend a lot of money on.
Were there customers complaining?
Not yet, but it was early in the day, and we weren't going to give them the opportunity to do so either.
Stone, by the way, that question, the customer's complaining, that's not what it's about, lady. He's the boss. This is the promotion. The company is putting their effort and their money and their time and their energies into this promotion, and the dude's going against the thing and the guy, and he's fired. See?
Where the customer's complaining?
What has that got to do with anything? Maybe in the world of television and radio, if the customers complain, like the listeners and the viewers, yeah, we sweat bullets, don't we? Well, not in that business. Unless, of course, they sell them a car and there's no engine in it or something like that.
Yeah, that they would complain then, right?
Of course. That would be grounds for a complaint.
If you sell them a car with no engine?
Yeah.
That makes sense to me.
All right. Stone says his GM never told him about the Bears' promotion.
If I had never wore this tie, I wouldn't have known his true feelings about me, I figured. It is because I never had a chance. He never pulled me to the side. Say, hey, John, you know we have a contract with the Bears. This being inappropriate for you to wear this tie. If he had to say that to me, I would have took the tie off.
Wait a minute, man. He asked you twice. Our young people today, man. Our young people today.
Why are you blaming young people, man?
All right, old people today. Everybody. There seems to be a sense in the country, old and young. Oh, well, You're the boss? Yes, I am the boss. And what did you want me to do? Take the tie off. Okay, well, how about if we negotiate? No, man. No. Let's negotiate. My grandmother died. I didn't know there was a Bears promotion. No, you didn't need to know if there's a Bears promotion. You heard me say, take the tie off, didn't you?
Yeah.
Then take it off. What do you mean, my underwear? You're going to turn this into sexual harassment? Maybe.
That'd be funny if he did that. You go to the police, say, you told me to take my underwear off. Even though it was a tie.
Yeah, that'd work real good, bud.
I don't know, man. I don't know why he has to do it.
Are you crazy?
No.
If I told you, Robert, right now, you see that shirt you're wearing?
Yeah.
Now, it wouldn't be fair of me to say for you you can't wear it now, but if I told you not to come back to work tomorrow wearing that red T-shirt that you're wearing right now.
Yeah.
And you came back with a red T-shirt. This is what I do. I'd say, you heard me yesterday, right? And you'd say, yeah. What would you say?
If I came back with a red T-shirt, then I didn't hear you.
So I am correct in assuming that if I told you not to wear a red T-shirt to work tomorrow, you wouldn't come back wearing a red T-shirt.
Well, that's not true unless he didn't hear you.
Yeah.
What?
If I didn't hear you.
What do you mean if you didn't hear me? You're standing there talking to me, right?
Yeah.
And I say, don't come back to work tomorrow wearing that red... You guys are going to kill me.
Here, have some coffee.
Don't push it into my mouth, man. If I said don't come back to work tomorrow wearing a red T-shirt, would you wear a red T-shirt?
No.
Okay. So I don't have to worry about you coming back to work tomorrow wearing a red T-shirt.
Unless I forgot or...
What if you forgot? All right, let's say you did. Let's say you came back wearing a red T-shirt, okay?
All right.
I'd say to you, what are you doing with a red T-shirt?
Because I don't want to be nude.
Because you don't want to be nude. Okay. Excuse me, guys. So then I say to you, do you remember me telling you not to wear a red T-shirt? And you'd say no, right?
Yeah.
I'd say, well, I did. So here's what I want you to do, Robert, because it's early in the day, and because you only live 2 blocks away, would you change that shirt, please?
Why do I have to do that?
See, you just asked me the wrong question, man.
What do you mean?
That's the wrong question to ask your boss. Why do I got to do that? I told you yesterday, and I'm telling you again today, I don't want you wearing a red T-shirt.
Yeah, but why?
I'm not going to tell you why. How about that?
But if it's the only shirt he's got.
If it's the only shirt he's got, then it's the only shirt he's got. All right? Now you come back, you're still wearing a red T-shirt, you're fired.
Yeah, but that's not what happened to that guy. That guy,
yes, it's what happened to him. He said that the guy told him twice, two times, to take off the damn shirt. Oh, God, I'm choking to death over here. All right, well, I ain't buying it, man. See, what I think everybody should do, you got to look deeper into these stories. You have to look at a news story as if you have to assume when you read a news story that they're lying to you. You have to, because understand that you're being manipulated into a point of view. That news story was designed to manipulate you and me into a certain point of view. Oh, the poor guy. I understand that, and I feel bad for that guy, but... We all have to work for a living, and we all got to do what the boss says. And if the guy you don't do, then you don't do. All right, a Utah State trooper is in hot water for hitting a 53-year-old woman in the head after a traffic stop. That's very unfair. I think the trooper ought to be given a medal. I'm kidding. But did she deserve it? We'll find out. The Phil Henry Show at philhenryshow.com.
This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Phil Henry.
All right, we got a couple of stories to catch up on. Rick Sanchez, recently fired by CNN, was interviewed by Rumor Fix and was asked, would you be interested in Keith Olbermann's job? And he said, yes, he would be. And I felt a little bad for Rick. I don't think he should have given that interview, Rick, and I don't think he should have said what you said. Because you're not going to get that job. They're going to move their fair-haired people in those positions. And as deserving as you may be, Rick, I think you got to lay low, brother. And, you know, what Sanchez did, he made a stupid comment, and it was ultra stupid. Look, if I know it's stupid, and I'm talking about now how, something I would not say because I want to hold on to my job, right?
Yeah.
All right. I would never say that, man. I mean, right, wrong, or indifferent. I know saying that, what he said, is dumb. And why? I could go into reasons why, but the fact is, as a newsman, you laugh about the historic oppression of Jews, and it's very real. And Jack, your ass is grass. Anyway, he was interviewed, and he said he'd considered taking over for MSNBC anchor Keith Olbermann, who abruptly left the network on Friday. He was abruptly fired on Friday. Let's just call a you-know-what, okay? Rumor fix. Sanchez got canned. Olbermann got canned. I've been canned. There's two kinds of people in this business, the people that have been fired and the people that, haven't been fired yet. The Cuban-born newsman would not comment on whether he's been approached by MSNBC to return to the news deck. No, he hasn't. But if offered Olbermann's job, Sanchez tells us it would be worth considering. The former CNN anchor had nothing but praise for MSNBC's highest-rated host, which is quite gracious considering Olbermann slammed Sanchez, calling him a dirty spick. No, he didn't. I'm kidding.
Man, you get in trouble for that.
I'm kidding. October the 1st, 2010. Keith is a great broadcaster. He gets it. There's a nuance to his message that will likely be missed. Nuance? All right, so you're not going to get that gig, Rick. And since he says he's turned down several job offers, telling Rumor Fix he wants to return to broadcasting, but the right thing hasn't come along yet. He's looking for national is what he's looking for, you know.
What do you think?
He's looking for a national gig. And he's probably been offered a lot of local. I bet you money he's been offered local back in Miami. Or maybe even local in Atlanta. But here are the nominees for the whole damn thing. This is the Oscars. Best Picture, 127 Hours, about the guy that had to hack off his own arm. Black Swan, I don't know, that's about a, what's that about?
I think that's about a ballerina.
A ballerina. Inception, which I tweeted today, is boring as hell. I found the first half hour so dull, I had to turn it off. And, like, just take handfuls of speed, man.
Really?
No, not really, but I thought it sucked. The Fighter, which I hear is good, ain't seen it. The Kids Are All Right, which I hear is good, ain't seen it. The King's Speech, great movie. Social Network, great movie. Toy Story 3, Toy Story 3, which I hear is good, I ain't seen it. True Grit, great movie.
Which one would you vote for the movie of the whole of the Oscar?
Which movie would I vote for of the whole of the Oscar? I would vote for... I can't, because I ain't seen them all, man.
What about Inception?
Yeah, Inception. I just got done saying it sucked, man. Oh. Of the ones that I saw, I would give it to King's... I'd give it to True Grit.
What? What about Social Network?
Social Network was great. Social Network kicked ass. There's no question... I don't know. You know what I liked about True Grit? The photography. And I guess it's because it was outdoors, you know.
Well, if that's it, man, then Social Network ain't never had a chance because that was all indoors.
Yeah, they mostly shot Social Network indoors.
Yeah, I know they shot it indoors.
Why is that?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe because most of the stuff took place indoors.
Yeah. I mean, but it's possible someone could take place outdoors.
What?
The stuff on Social Network.
Some of it could have taken place. Yes, some of it could have taken place outdoors, you know, but I don't think it took place outdoors in spectacular settings like, you know, the beautiful stuff they had in True Grit.
Well, you don't know unless they went on a camping trip.
Trust me, man. Social Network, it was all indoors. And if they did anything outdoors, it wasn't out in the beautiful plains of Montana with the starlit sky at night. You guys are crazy. Social Network was great, though, and I like both of those young actors are terrific. Here's the Best Actor nominees, Jeff Bridges, Javier Bardem, that guy's the best. Jesse Eisenberg for Social Network, Javier Bardem for Beautiful, Colin Firth, fantastic, and James Franco. I ain't seen Javier Bardem, but I can tell you, that guy knocks it out of the park every time. So I'd say, just having that, I've seen all of these actors except for Franco.
So what do you think?
Well, Jason just told me that he says Franco is brilliant in 127 hours, so now I know he probably sucked. And
oh man,
I'm kidding around, but no way would I vote for him. It's either Colin Firth, or Javier Bardem. Actress, Annette Bening, Nicole Kidman, Jennifer Lawrence, Natalie Portman, Michelle Williams, who cares? And then, I'm kidding. I didn't see any of these guys. All right, Christian Bale, John Hawks, Jeremy Renner, Mark Ruffalo. You know, these, I'll tell you the actors that I like here. Jeremy Renner, fantastic. Mark Ruffalo, fantastic. Jeffrey Rush, fantastic. Christian Bale, fantastic. John Hawks, never heard of him.
Are you kidding me? You must have heard about him.
I heard of him. I just didn't see it. All right. I can keep giving you all of these people's names. Helena Bonham Carter was out of sight, man, in that King's Speech. I never really liked her because she was always in those, what were those movies she was in?
Yeah, you know what that like, what do you call Ivory Merchant?
Ivory Merchant, all that jazz. Who cares? And so I never liked her. And then I saw her in this King's Speech. I said, oh, God, she's a great actress. So I'm a big fan of hers now. Haley Steinfeld in True Grit was something else, man. I mean, she held her own with some heavy hitters. And that kid was great. I don't know how old she is, but I definitely have to put her up there. But, you know, not having seen Animal Kingdom, which I thought was a cartoon.
Isn't it?
No. It's a...
I thought it was a TV show.
Right. Best Animated Picture, How to Train Your Dragon. And that's a euphemism for your, you know...
Oh.
No, it isn't. Toy Story 3, The Illusionist. Best Director, Darren Aronofsky for Black Swan, David Fincher for The Social Network, Tom Hooper for The King's Speech, Joel and Ethan Coen, True Grit, and David O. Russell. What are the best director to two guys?
Yeah, that's not even fair because there's two guys that did it, and that makes it easier.
I thought one of the guys was the director and the other guy's a producer.
No, they gave both of them.
That's weird. God, is that weird. And the best director, it's almost like they come up with two heads or something. And finally, best documentary feature. Nobody watches those. No, Exit Through the Gift Shop, which is a euphemism for...
Your girlfriend.
Yeah, just shut up. Exit Through the Gift Shop, Gasland, Inside Job, Restrepo. I hear that's very good. I didn't want to see that because I thought they were bagging on the troops, and I hear it's fantastic. And Wasteland, which is the story of what's between Bud Dickman's ears. All right, the Phil Hendry Show.
Shut up.
PhilHendryShow.com. That's PhilHendryShow.com. Rick Johnson, thank you. Dan Northcraft, thank you. Jason Rantz, thank you.
Phil Hendry.